This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome to Ramadan Reset with me, your host, Lauren Booth. This podcast series is sponsored by watan.org.uk, delivering services to Syrians in need.
Are we getting punished for what we have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we've not shown the gratitude? I mean, it's quite telling, isn't it, that the brothers who do the cleaning of the masjid, subhanAllah, are the only ones who can pray right now. You know, at the Kaaba that we yearn to go to. When the doors of Mecca open, I'll be the first there waiting.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu Rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Great news today. By the grace of Allah, Brother Omar Issa, the international nasheed artist and all-round humble believer in Allah Ta'ala, sharing some thoughts on Alhamdulillah. Everybody's well so far, shukr Allah. We're having a heat wave here in Turkey. And tell me, what's everybody doing at Eid? Because Qatar isn't... I was speaking to Brother Hamza, who runs this, mashallah, he's from Watan. And he said that in Qatar, they haven't locked it down. They've just made it too boring to go out, which is really interesting. So in Qatar, you can go out anywhere you like, but the parks are closed, the pools are closed, the beaches are closed, the malls are closed. There's nowhere to go. And you can only have two people in your car and everybody wants to be with their family. So it's kind of smart.
Well, that is quite clever, yeah. In London, it's a lockdown. So I think it'll be kind of like just at home with everyone who's at the home. So I guess it's going to be really strange. But alhamdulillah, you know, you have to just, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses, we take it and we move forward with it.
I mean, and one of the amazing things, of course, about us all being Muslim is that we recognize that this is going to be a memory and a teaching moment. So we will move through this by the grace of Allah. But what is Allah trying to direct us to? And what's the learning? And in a way, this makes this Eid really, really special and kind of intense, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. You know, subhanAllah, it's kind of been a really different experience, even though it has gone fast. So, I always find that Ramadan always goes too fast. But subhanAllah, it's been strange. You know, I was watching a podcast yesterday, and people were talking about how, you know, it was a non-Muslim podcast, and they're talking about how, you know, this kind of what we're at the moment is really, really strange, and even for us Muslims, like, not being able to embrace each other. I miss hugging brothers, you know. That's one of the things that I really, really miss, is going and hugging brothers and, you know, enjoying the time with them, subhanAllah. So, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow this not to happen again. You know, but ultimately we are still really blessed compared to what other brothers and sisters are going through, like, you know, our Syrian brothers and sisters, you know. So we have to really think and think that, you know, alhamdulillah for everything. And at the same time, we need to be grateful and we need to help as much as we can the less fortunate around the world.
As Muslims, we live a life with purpose by the grace of Allah. I remember before I came to Islam, living a life of acquisition and lists and moments of beauty, of course, with my daughters, mashallah. But what was the purpose? How did I back then figure out what was the reason that I got up every day? And as Muslims, Allah Ta'ala tells us very clearly, you were created, you, angels, jinn, everything was created to worship him. You know, there was a very famous clip about 6 months ago to a year, and it was of a little boy. He was about 5 or 6 years old, and he was in a hospital bed, and he was dying of wounds, a Syrian boy. And they said, what's your message? He said, I'm going to tell Allah all about this.
Oh, subhanAllah.
I am going to tell Allah when I see him. Allahu Akbar. Imagine that little child's testimony. SubhanAllah, brothers and sisters. This is our family. And if we don't share what we have, we are missing out. Have you ever noticed how when you give charity, you feel so amazing afterwards? SubhanAllah. How is it possible that it gives so much to the one who is making the donation? And actually the size of the donation doesn't matter, subhanAllah, because it's all with the heart, with the way you give, isn't it? It's the way you give it.
Exactly. Like, you know, mashallah, tabarakallah, like, as Muslims, alhamdulillah, we're so giving, alhamdulillah, you know, even in England, they recognize that. you know, subhanAllah. And even all the mainstream charities even here understand that and, you know, tap into the Muslim, you know, charity market, let's say, because they know that the Muslims are the most giving, because they don't really fully understand why we give. We give in a way that we give because we give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We actually give for our brothers and sisters, but we also give for ourselves because we want to gain that reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in these final days of Ramadan, you know, and what opportunity to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this moment right now in the blessed month of Ramadan subhanAllah. So give whatever you can, my brothers and sisters, please.
So we're all in lockdown. I'm hearing from brothers hearing Kurdistan is in lockdown, Algeria's in lockdown. You know, there's only the cleaners, may Allah bless them, mashallah, getting to pray at the Kaaba in the early hours of the morning. Heartbreaking scenes.
Yeah.
What do you read into this? How is it, you know, making you feel as a Muslim that Allah Ta'ala is telling us about our behavior?
I do ask this question, and I'm sure some people may agree. Are we getting punished for what we have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we've not shown the gratitude? I mean, it's quite telling, isn't it, that the brothers who do the cleaning of the masjid, subhanAllah, are the only ones who can pray right now, you know, at the Kaaba that we yearn to go to. Now, I saw a post yesterday on Facebook where a brother said, when the doors of Mecca open, I'll be the first there waiting. You know, we're all just waiting, subhanAllah, to go. And I remember when I went in 2018, I went the first time I went as a practicing man, and I just thought, wow, like, how did I miss out on this opportunity for so long in my life, subhanAllah, to come back and pray? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. I mean, because we are transgressors, you know, we make mistakes all the time, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving. That is where the hope comes in, that every, apart from one surah in the Quran, every surah in the Quran starts with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you know, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most compassionate, the most merciful. And I say to people, if we're compassionate to a human being, imagine how compassionate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. We can't even fathom his compassion and mercy, you know, to his servants, subhanAllah. So, yeah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. I mean,
do you know, I want to share the last time I was at the Kaaba by the grace of Allah was 2017. Or was it 2018? It was January. And in the November, I suddenly looked at my daughter in 2016, November 2016, 17. And I said, you know what? There's something wrong with my heart because I have not been praying for Umrah. And it just came into my mind. And I said, I need to start praying for Umrah. Okay, I've done Hajj, but do I not want to go back? Do I not want to see the blessed place and visit the Prophet, peace be upon him, in Medina? So I started praying in November. Oh Allah, with real earnestness, please let me go back to your house. I didn't pray properly last time. I have so much I want to say to you. I really want to be with the people again. I want to be humbled. I want to. And in January, I got a phone call, and it was the most incredible phone call. It was from a charity, and they said, Sister Lauren, would you like to go on Umrah with Palestinian orphans next week?
Subhanallah.
And I just started to cry, and I said, Subhanallah. And you know what really, really made me cry was, before I came to Islam, I was making a program, and the name of that program was Remember the Children of Palestine.
Oh,
now the children of Palestine were taking me to the Kaaba.
Alhamdulillah, beautiful.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
The reason that I bring that up is because when I was, we were making a tawaf, we were going around the Kaaba, and I was holding this little Palestinian refugee boy's hand from Jordan, one of the refugee camps there. And I started to really, really cry about Syria. I was just saying, oh Allah, the little children. And he said, you know, why are you praying? And I said, Syria. And that Palestinian orphan said, Ya Allah fi Syria. Ya Allah. So you've got a Palestinian orphan from a refugee camp praying for his brothers and sisters in Syria. Wow. It was one of the most incredible, pure moments of my existence. Because children care naturally for other people. They haven't been crowded by thoughts and suspicions and waswas. They're just, I've had this, you know, their heart will say, I've had this situation. I really don't want that for my brothers and sisters, subhanAllah. And a child, a child will give to somebody before they'll have it. If you pretend to cry in front of a child and there's water, they'll say, have some. That's how Allah's made us.
So I'm going to do one of my favorite nashees I've written. It's called Alhamdulillah. And the reason I love performing this all the time wherever I go is because, you know, being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that is said in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, I love the grateful servant. And, you know, even in the time we're in right now, lockdown and this COVID-19, we have to say alhamdulillah for everything, because our brothers and sisters in Syria always say alhamdulillah. Even with the heart that they're going through, they always say alhamdulillah. So I'm going to perform alhamdulillah, inshallah. That's okay. Inshallah. Bismillah. Shall I perform it?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Bismillah. Everything I have, everything I own, everything I eat is thanks to you. Every breath I take, every bird I hear, every smile I see, it's thanks to you. Alhamdulillah, 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 all thanks is to Allah. Alhamdulillah, 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 all thanks is to Allah. Every drop of rain is a mercy from above, feeding all the earth is thanks to you. Every ray of sun, the light of the moon, the wind when it blows, it's thanks to you. Alhamdulillah, 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 all thanks is to Allah. Alhamdulillah, 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 all thanks is to Allah.
When you think about organizations you can trust, it's based on making a real difference to the people that they're meant to serve. I support Watan UK because their programs lift Syrians out of misery. They've just constructed two new villages for internally displaced people in Kafr Jalis, which is an Idlib sub-district. These new camps, they have schools, clinics, decent accommodation, real sanitation, and educational opportunities for internally displaced children and adults. You can support the continued running of these services right now by going to watan.org.uk. May Allah bless you.
MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, indeed. That was so beautiful, barakallah feek. Did you write that?
Yes, alhamdulillah.
What year did you write it in?
I wrote it in 2015.
Mm. Yeah. And it seems such an anthem now. We you know, every so often it just pops into the ether. It'll come onto a timeline, or it's an amazing. I remember it because I was hosting a radio show in Manchester, and it was one I just always loved to put on when mm-hmm. I wanted to calm down. When I was feeling I was a bit sort of like rushing around, I just put that on, and alhamdulillah. What does it do to your heart performing in that way? Such a heavy, beautiful word.
Do you know what? It always humbles me, you know, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because, you know, my sister, like, I'm a sinner. I'm a person who strays, and I always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me, and I just try to be grateful. You know, life is really difficult sometimes, you know, subhanAllah. You know, especially when you're a recording artist and you're self-employed and you're in the Muslim artist world, then there's really no scene, you know, to be honest with you. And we always have to keep understanding that alhamdulillah for everything. Mm-hmm. Keep working, keep pushing. I keep saying this, I always will say it, there's brothers and sisters out there who are going through much more harder stuff, but you have to always be grateful, always be helpful, and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there for us. No matter what we go through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there, and we have to say alhamdulillah. Even in the hardest and darkest times, we have to say alhamdulillah. You know, Allah, alhamdulillah, subhanAllah.
And that's why, you know, these are words that, of course, are given to us by Allah Ta'ala for Him to increase us. It's like, imagine that You're given a test, but the headmaster gives you the answer paper at the same time and says, here's the test, here's the answer sheet. All you have to do is look at the answer sheet and write the questions and write the answers in. And humanity says, no, we're all right. I'll try and muddle through.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's such a good way to explain it, mashallah. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us everything. Yeah. All we have to do is just there's the answers. We have to just get them and just move forward with it, subhanAllah. That's such a good way to look at it, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And of course, in the Holy Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, and if you are grateful, I will increase you. And there is no limit to that increase. It isn't, I will give you such and such a specific thing. It's actually, I will increase you.
Yes, indeed. SubhanAllah. That's so profound, isn't it? That, you know, the more grateful you are, the more you give. And I remember I decided, it's quite mad actually, because I'm always, unfortunately in my life, I've always been a half, another half glass,
glass is half full kind of guy.
Yeah, I'm the one who's been, may Allah forgive me, I've been the one who's always been like, you know, I need to keep pushing, I'm hard on myself. And at the beginning of, SubhanAllah, 2020, I said, you know what, I'm not going to ever say that, I'm now the glass is half full guy, I'm going to move on with it, alhamdulillah. And then SubhanAllah, COVID-19 and it came into our lives. So I was like, alhamdulillah, you know, this is a test that we have to understand and really appreciate. Because, you know, I was speaking to someone the other day, I said, imagine that this virus has closed down everything. Like, this is not a war, this is not a weapon. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everybody is just shut down. Everybody, the kings to the cleaners, to the normal brothers, to the rich people, to the poor people, everyone is just in one place waiting. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that there will be a vaccine or there will be a cure, then it will happen. Otherwise, what are we going to do? You know, if that makes sense. So, alhamdulillah for everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power is something we can't fathom. And it's a power that we have to respect, you know, and appreciate. And, you know, and this is a lesson for everybody. Everybody out there who doesn't believe or who's been questioning, they have to understand that there's that power that's done, created all of this, and we have to respect that power. And that's obviously, as Muslims, we believe that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? SubhanAllah. So, you know, it's really telling, subhanAllah, where we are at the moment.
And when we talk about power as well, brothers and sisters, it's all about where Allah has placed us. So just think about this. This moment that we're all having right now was written thousands of years before creation, before the world was created. Before any of this, Allah wrote our names to be gathered here right now, listening to Omar Issa praise him, and to you choosing to be here and not somewhere else. Because you know what? The distractions don't go in Ramadan. We get stronger. You're here watching this now because Allah Ta'ala has chosen you to listen to this message and to be grateful, inshallah, and for me to be grateful, and Brother Omar Issa to do his part. He's been chosen to give his time. And we're all here as part of the Ummah because the Syrian refugees need us. So imagine that we may be a part of a family's du'as that go up to the heavens and then they come down in this form. Yeah. SubhanAllah. So brothers and sisters, just a reminder, there are links below. And there's a link to my Just Giving page and all the money I'm giving to Syrian refugee families in they're called the displaced persons camp just outside Idlib. And they need the basics. You know, this isn't going away. Maybe right now we all of us in our own way, including Brother Omar, right? We have a little bit of we don't know where our rizq is coming.
Yeah.
None of us. Because what happens after a lockdown, after a plague comes a famine. May Allah Ta'ala protect us.
Ameen.
And that doesn't mean it's a time for hoarding. It's a time for giving to avert the catastrophe.
Indeed.
What do you say about charity, brother, averting catastrophe, subhanAllah?
It's from our deen, you know, my sister. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when you give charity, actually it will stop a potential calamity coming into your life, subhanAllah. That's the power of charity. And at this moment, like you said something profound, that the brothers and sisters who are helping in Idlib today, subhanAllah, right now, imagine when you give, just whatever you can give for the sake of Allah, subhanAllah, imagine you're standing on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, when everybody Nobody, everyone is saying, nafsi, nafsi, go away from me. Your parents, your children, your loved ones, everybody is telling me, go away from me. It's just me today. I'm worried about myself. I'm worried about myself. And then all of a sudden, you see a brother come up to you or a sister. And you're like, what do you want? Allah, this person helped us in the time when we needed it. And then there's a line of people. Mm-hmm. And you're like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. These people will testify. Say, this man or this woman, when we needed the help, they came forward and they gave what you blessed them with. Because ultimately, the money that we have is not even ours. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to us. Mm-hmm. This is when we, as Muslims, understand that everything we have is from Allah. That is when we will give more and more. Because we understand that then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us more. This is the beautiful thing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our King. When we give, the more we get. Subhanallah. And we never lose when we give for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. Like you said, it's strange, isn't it? When we give charity, we feel happy. It's weird. Mm. But when you buy trainers or when you buy a nice dress, you feel a little bit guilty. You're like, oh, you know, should I have done that? But when you give charity, there's that feeling that you feel in your heart that nothing else gives you. And that's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, brothers and sisters, we need to give. Whatever you can give, give. Do not feel shy that, you know, I only have a little. That little might be your entry into Jannah, inshallah. Mm. You know, and this is the beautiful thing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And I love that zakat is one of the five pillars. That giving is one of the five pillars. We want to have another nasheed from you, inshallah. What have you chosen for us, brother?
I'll do, inshallah, the Qasida Burda, Mawla Yasalli, inshallah. So I'll inshallah recite that, inshallah. Bismillah.
محمد سيد الكونين وثاق عليه محمد سيد الكونين وثاق عليه والفريقين من أرب ومن أجم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم بشرى لنا ما شر الإسلام إن لنا من الإناية ركنا غيرها من حدمي مولا مولا يا سلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولا مولا
Allahu Akbar, mashallah. My heart feels so at ease after that. Barakallah feek. And just being able to imagine, just being able to recite that from memory every day, subhanallah. You really are blessed.
There was a time, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anh was the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of the Muslims. And at Fajr time, he would go somewhere. And Umar radiallahu anh noticed this. And then one day Umar radiallahu anhu thought, you know what? I'm going to actually follow Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and I'm going to see where he goes. So he followed him and he saw that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu started walking towards the desert. And as he was walking towards the desert, he saw that he entered a temporary kind of shelter place. And Umar radiallahu anhu waited outside and he waited there. A few hours passed, subhanAllah. And as the few hours passed, subhanAllah, he saw that Abu Bakr had walked out of the tent. And he started walking in the other direction. And Umar radiallahu anhu now went into the tent, walked in, he walked in, and he saw there was a woman sitting down. And Umar radiallahu anhu said to the woman, "Mother, who are you?" And she said, "My son, I'm a blind woman. I'm a widow. I have nobody. And I'm just, living, And he goes, "Who was this man that came into your tent?" She goes, "I don't know who he is. But I know that he comes every morning after Fajr and he, subhanAllah, He cleans and he cooks for me. SubhanAllah. This was Amir. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu at the time was Amir al-Mu'mineen. And Umar radiallahu anhu started crying. SubhanAllah. He thought, look at this. The man who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised Jannah, and he's still working for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the caliber of the Sahaba, the people who were the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give charity.
Give charity.
Please.
Please give
for charity. Allah's sake.
For Allah's sake.
When you think about organizations you can trust, it's based on making a real difference to the people that they're meant to serve. I support Watan UK because their programs lift Syrians out of misery. They've just constructed two new villages for internally displaced people in Kafr Jalis, which is an Idlib sub-district. These new camps, they have schools, clinics, decent accommodation, real sanitation, and educational opportunities for internally displaced children and adults. You can support the continued running of these services right now by going to watan.org.uk. May Allah bless you.